welcome to the Incisal Edge podcast interview. My name's Alan Reese, and I run Dental Business Partners, where I help dentists to build their perfect practices, enabling them and their teams to achieve the rewards their work and dedication deserve. The Incisal Edge is the name for my e-zine, blog, and podcast. The object of these interviews is to explore the world of dentistry by talking to people who have gained success either in dentistry or other fields, or have unique skills that can help dentists and their teams, or are just interesting folks involved in dentistry. My guest this week on the podcast is Drew Shah. The word entrepreneur is bandied about a great deal. One definition is that it describes someone who takes risks and shows initiative. Well, that certainly describes Drew. Not content with postgraduate training to become a specialist periodontist, he also set up Dentinal Tubules, which is a unique portal for anyone who wishes to access high-quality, continuing professional development. And he's not content to rest there. I hope you enjoy our conversation as much as I did. Today I'm joined by Drew Shah from Dentinal Tubules. Hi, Drew. Welcome.
Hello, Alan. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And yourself?
I'm well, thanks. And looking forward to today's audio cast.
Great. Thanks very much for agreeing to be my guest today on the Incisal Edge podcast. Let's start at the very beginning. Where are you from?
I grew up and I'm from Kenya. That's where I'm from, in Kenya. The bright sun, great safaris, the great wild, the great nature. And I left all that in 1998 to move to the UK to study dentistry. It's Sheffield University as an undergraduate.
Why dentistry?
I always had a great interest in something medical. I had a teacher who was my biology teacher, who was a great inspiration. And for years I toyed between medicine and dentistry. But what appealed about dentistry was that not only was it, you know, biological, dealing with what is medical, but there's a hands-on element to it. And I love that. So that's how I ended up doing dentistry, because of that very aspect, that you can actually express your creativity through art. And it's been great. It's a great sort of pathway I've followed. And obviously, as the years have gone, you know, once I graduated, I spent 3 years in a beautiful town in Welshpool, in the middle of Wales, where I developed general skills. But it was there where I sort of started thinking, actually, I like the restorative aspect, you know, rather than the surgical. And I went and did a house officer job in restorative at the Royal London for a year. And then from there, I went on to do a maxillofacial job. And at that point, again, I actually toyed with the idea of going to do medicine and maxfac surgery. But after a while, I realized that I don't know if I'd be, you know, committed to that 14 years of training. But I still liked education. I've always been passionate about learning. I've got a very curious mind. And I enjoyed the surgical aspect. So when I put everything together, I thought, okay, I will apply for an MClin Dent in Perio then. And surprisingly, I got in, surprisingly for me, because I never thought I had a chance. But it was brilliant. 4 years of perio training at Guy's Hospital. I learned a lot about dentistry, and it really raised brought my enthusiasm even greater about the whole education and what you can learn and how you can actually use all this to really deliver a high value of care to your patients. And that was one of the biggest things away from my ethos of education, which I love, sharing and learning, was about delivering high-quality treatment to patients in good time. And now where I am as a specialist, that's something I enjoy. I can choose to have the time with the patient, to be able to communicate with them, to be able to inform them, to be able to educate them. So that's been my pathway, in brief, with the principles I live with.
And of course, in Perio, as in every element of dentistry, you need to be part of a team. In your case, you'll be the leader of a team, obviously. Do you enjoy that element of it?
Absolutely. I love that element, because You've actually identified something that's very close to my heart, which is the team. And the team doesn't just involve me and the dentist, but it includes the hygienists and the therapists and the dental nurses, who are all involved in the patient care. And the reason I say it's so close to my heart, in fact, we ran a hygienist study club at one of my practices, Cranmore in Belfast, and we were talking about the hygienist's role in the periodontal patient care. And they were really impressed with that, but one of the frustrations they found was that a lot of dentists don't seem to take things on board, which was a challenge. And as a periodontal team leader, I have enjoyed implementing the oral health program in practices, where instead of the patient seeing the hygienist for just a clean and polish, so just is not a great word, and you wrote a blog post on it. And I think scale and polish is not a great word, because scale and polish means that the whole onus is then on the hygienist, and the patient just thinks, oh, I'm just coming for a clean, which really is not the case, is it? It's actually a whole oral health program. You know, patients are being taught how to look after their oral health. They're being given the initiative and have to understand that the dental professional, whoever it is, the periodontist, the dentist, the hygienist, is actually helping them move in that direction. And that's what I've found most passionate. So in the practices, I've been trying to implement this oral health program, which then makes the hygienists almost the core of the program. And as a periodontist, I can lead it forward, which has come out with very positive results for patients who've taken it on board. And the whole ethos of that program is actually developing charts for patients, spending time with them, disclosing visual aids for them, and giving them homework, as I would say, to go back with. And we give them scores based on their oral hygiene. And patients get really motivated, patients get really involved in their treatment. And to involve the whole team also means that, you know, the patients are involved, they come into practice asking a lot of questions, and the team has got to be on board, because the patients can ask anyone, the nurse, how am I doing, or the hygienist, which areas am I missing with my oral hygiene. And overall, that has worked really well.
You really are talking my language. This is fantastic. Thank you. You're part of what I see as one of the great changes in the delivery of dentistry and the innovation of dentistry over the last 25 years. When I qualified in the dim and distant past, everything was dental hospital based. The hospitals and the schools were the centres of excellence, and that's where all the innovation came from, or quite often didn't come from. What I've seen over the last 20 years, particularly over the last 10 years, is the changes are coming from practices, from people like yourselves who've done specialist training and are working out in the community. That sounds awfully Department of Health, but I see that the changes are coming from people, from practitioners, not necessarily from the dental hospitals, and I think that's a good thing.
I think it is a great thing, and it has to come from all aspects, really. Relying on hospitals on their own is always going to be a challenge, because we're realizing more and more that hospital resources are limited, and therefore the hospitals hold a very crucial role, because they have some of the greatest minds there. And what we should do realistically is free up the hospitals to be able to deal with the really complex treatments, or the hospitals having the resources to really carry out high levels of research and training, because that's where they become at the forefront, because they have those resources to do multi-year research and multiple sample sizes, and have the sort of brains, the academics, the team, the multidisciplinary clinics, and they play an important role. But a lot of it then has to disseminate into practices as well, because hospitals cannot take that pressure, in my opinion. And it has to come down to either the primary level or the secondary level, which is a specialist level practice. And innovation in specialist level practices is definitely going to come to the fore, especially the UK, where for a long time, I think we were simply between general practice and specialists in hospital. This middle tier of specialist practice was kind of subdued, in my opinion. If you look at the States, or if you look at Europe, I think they are a lot more further forward thinking in terms of how they deliver patient care in specialist or even high-level practices. I mean, slightly contentious, but I am even open to saying that perhaps the National Health Service system held us back because we were very comfortable in a system that worked, but people are now realizing that that system on its own cannot cater for all the needs. And therefore, people are moving further ahead. People are now realizing the need for education after graduation, and they need to improve their skills. And therefore, I think we're seeing a huge improvement. And when you see a growth in private practices, specialist practices, a growth in high-end treatments, then you're going to see more and more innovation coming into dentistry. You know, people thinking outside the box, people thinking separately. And I think that's an important thing. Not forgetting, the patients are getting more informed and more aware of the possibilities available to them as well.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Certainly we're dealing with far better educated dental consumers, if I can use the jargon phrase, and with the growth in media, everything being available at a couple of clicks of a keyboard, you then patients can find out far more and are asking far more searching questions and should have greater expectations of their professionals.
Yes, that's right. Greater expectations from the professionals, which immediately means that the standard of care and not only the dental care, but overall patient care we deliver has to be much higher. And also, because they have greater expectations of the professionals, the level of knowledge that the professionals now need to have has to be much higher. So realistically, the demands on us are greater.
Yeah, absolutely. Your specialism is in a subject which many would see as a bit of a Cinderella subject. Certainly when I was an undergraduate, perio was poorly taught. I didn't get it. I'm not sure why that was. That was probably as much my fault as my teacher's, but I certainly didn't get it. It was only when I'd been in practice for 4 or 5 years that I do remember vividly my change came in a hotel in Leicester at a presentation done by Philip Green.
Yes. I finished his tenure as president of the BSP.
Yeah, and he introduced me to this thing called the CPITN probe, as it was then, little ball-ended probe, and I went away with my eyes opened. How widely were my eyes opened? Well, I ended up marrying a hygienist. You can't get more dedication than that. So, do you still see perio as a bit of a Cinderella speciality? Not, I'm sure you don't, but do you think a lot of people do?
I think, in fact, I was talking to a colleague yesterday, and the perception of perio, which has always come through, and then probably I had that as well, was that it is simply scaling and polishing or non-surgical debridement, because that is what the undergraduate teaching emphasizes on. But perio on its own is actually encompasses a lot more than that. Mm. As I said, I got in perio because I enjoyed the surgical aspect. And in fact, perio is almost microsurgery. While the root surface debridement and the non-surgical aspect does form a large part of the periodontal specialty, there's a lot more to it than that. You understand the biology for the patients, you understand their general medical conditions. And now, obviously, we're seeing the links between general health issues and periodontal disease. So that immediately means there's an element of holistic care to it. In addition to that, perio is fairly, I'd say, is a fairly sexy sort of specialty, because you can even do things like grafting and crown lengthening, and implants come into that now. And moving a step further now, we are seeing an increase in the number of cases with peri-implantitis and peri-implant bone loss, which is coming under the remit of periodontists. It Indeed. Covers a wide range. And the challenge is that most people don't seem to get the exposure or the understanding to that wide range. And as I've understood these things, and obviously as a student for life, I'm still learning myself, I have found that perio is more than just that kind of Cinderella subject. It's the core of what we do. And it is a really important in-depth area with a lot of potential to develop in the future.
That's great. I love to hear you say those things. Those are my opinions. I think perio is the cornerstone of everything in dentistry, certainly of all restorative and all preventive dentistry, it's great to hear you say that. Who were your influences in your clinical life? Did you have any heroes in the subject?
I think I have to say, as I went through my periodontal training, I'm quite happy to say at one point I was fairly frustrated because it was too academic. And although I'm very educationally driven, I was sort of struggling about where the practical element comes in. And there's a specialist who now works between London and Malta, Dr. Edward Summitt. We call him Brains because he's a very intelligent fellow. But he kind of developed this inspiration into me, which got me back on track. And I always look up to his methods of approaching things for it as one. Who the other people we always looked up to in perio, Professor Francis Hughes, who is now at Guy's, very, very intelligent man. And I love the way his thought processes work and how he works around to find solutions, and also how his research moves ahead. I think that has been an inspiration for me in many ways. Not forgetting Dr. Jim Moore. Jim Moore was our supervisor for the last 2 years in the training. He was a great source of inspiration, but also somebody who brought that enthusiasm of perio in practice for us, because he worked in private practice for many years, and therefore he brought his experience with him. Between those people, I think I've developed a real passion and a real drive to go forward. There are a lot of intelligent minds out there, and I'm sure I'll develop more mentors and people I look up to as I progress in my career.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very important to realise that there are always people who are better at than you are in different fields or even in your field, and to make sure that you listen to what they have to say.
That's right, and as we develop in our field, ideas change, ideas kind of morph and evolve, and you find different people who answer those questions or solve the queries you're worried about. I guess that's the way to think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. I'm just going to wrap up this bit of the talking about your clinical life. You spend time in different practices and a hospital as well at the moment. Is that right?
That's right. Yes. I'm spread between three practices and the local hospital, where I do some oral surgery, I guess, to keep my hand in that. Uh-huh. And the practices I work in are based in and around London, yes, and in Belfast.
So you have a commute every week, every couple of weeks?
Every fortnight.
Yeah.
British Airways welcomes me on board.
I'm sure they do. Yes, it's interesting the way... again, people these days do move around. I know various specialists in things like implantology and ortho who we'll spend a day or 2 days every week, every month or whatever, perhaps 200-300 miles away from home.
That's right. I think there's a phrase, there's a peripatetic periodontologist that a lot of us seem to do.
Let's talk about dentinal tubules.
Sure.
Where did the idea come from?
It was a rather strange idea. Now, basically, I've always said I enjoy education, and I'm a big fan of that. But I'm a hidden IT geek. I like my technology, my gadgets, and everything. And actually, when I started my perio training, I was looking for a practice job, and everyone kept asking me to refer to this one source. And I thought, this is a bit silly, but everyone keeps referring to one source because the UK seems to lack an online jobs board and alternatives. So actually, I started developing a jobs board. But that's when I realized that there is an opportunity being missed here, in the sense that there is no real online information education resource in the UK that we can use that is kind of positive, inspirational, and driven. And through that, I started developing the whole thing. So we included articles, and the jobs board suddenly morphed into an information board. And as I went through developing this, people were saying, well, you don't have an article on this topic, or you don't have an article on this. And I said to people, well, you can write me one, or you can write me one. And we suddenly had people writing it, and the site was growing with positivity. That kind of made me realize that technology is the perfect way to deliver education globally, because nobody in Africa or Asia, Australia, America, anywhere should not have access to this, really, should always have access to this educational resource. And Dentinal Tubules has slowly but surely morphed into something which sometimes I call a monster, but sometimes a great positive monster. Last year we launched our new site and more innovation, because we realized articles was one format, but people like different media. So now we have audio casts, we have video recordings, we even now have Tubules Live, where we deliver a live lecture, and it's going through the web. And people around the globe watch it. For example, on Saturday, we had a lecturer doing a course in London. He was from Greece. And as we streamed it through the web, we had audience from Romania, Macedonia, America, Ireland, UK, and sometimes we get viewers from Malaysia, South Africa. Such amazing global resource. So that's Dentinal Tubules for me, a kind of passion to deliver online education.
When you speak, the passion comes through your voice. It is, and I don't tire of that. Every time we've spoken over the years, when you get to that point and you're explaining and talking about dentinal tubules, the passion in your voice is a joy to hear. It's great.
Thank you.
It's really it's fantastic. So when did it start?
We started in September 2009, so we'll be approaching 5 years this September. And it obviously started off very, very slowly, but as people started realizing the power and potential of it, we've now grown up to just over 15,000 members. We have over 3,500 articles, videos, audio casts, and the forum section's vibrant with well over 20,000 postings. So it's really grown into something that people have found useful.
And now, in order to organize this and control this, you must need a team of some sort. How many of you are there? I think I know the answer.
As I say, so far the team's been one, myself. But I think at the beginning of this podcast we talked about the team in Perio, and in fact just this morning I read a phrase. It said, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with the team. That's been one of my greatest educational lessons. So answering your question, there's still one of me leading the show, but we now have a team built from Tubules Live, because people love the concept, who are now on the site. So we have a team of about 3 to 4 people who are helping out to really get the message of the Tubules ethos out now.
Mm-hmm. And if you could sum up that ethos, what would you say?
Three words, really. Share, learn, connect. There is a genius in all of us, and I want the world to share their knowledge so we can all learn from it. And through the process, we all connect together.
Share, learn, connect. Fantastic. That's great. And where's it going? What's the future for Tubule?
I think Dentile Tubules is the start of something greater for me. When I started Dentile Tubules, I wanted to get dental education to the world, and it's getting there. But Tubule's life has given me the opening now to realize that not just dentistry, you can deliver any lecture anywhere and people around the world can watch it. My vision is to take education to the world. No one should never say, I don't have access to education. Everyone should be able to access knowledge in whichever way they want using technology. That's the vision. That's where we wanted to go. Dentile Tubules is a prototype which we can transfer across to other fields as well. And it's a slow but sure process. We've got to make sure that this setup in dentistry is really working well. People are getting value for it because we want dentists to be able to gain that knowledge, to be able to deliver high quality treatment to their patients. And from there, we will make sure that we deliver this to get some of the best speakers in the world on Dentile Tubules.
That dream is wonderful. I admire you. I admire the fact that you have such fantastic ambition.
Or it's madness, as some say.
No, it's not. No, something that's so idealistic can't be madness at all. Do you ever get time for yourself?
I think it's important. I've been through times when I didn't get time to myself at all. And in fact, forget time to myself, I didn't sleep. When I was doing my MClin Dent Masters, plus working to earn a living, plus starting and running Dentile Tubules, there were nights when I would go to between 2 and 3 hours of sleep. And I did that for a long time. And again, Tubules has been a great lesson. I gave you the lesson about the team. Second lesson for me was that I think we must reserve time to ourselves to simply not only wind down, but also to just take that step back. And one of the things I always say is that if you've got a bowl of water which has sand in it, and you say, actually, I want to clean this bowl, and you try and shake it and move it about, you can't get that sand out. Just leave the bowl of water to lie on the side, and the sand will just settle down, and you get your clean water. And for me, time to myself has become that. You sit back, you self-reflect, and I guess the sand just settles. And it's something I'm now trying my best to develop and find time to myself, time to wind down, time to take back. But I didn't have that for a long time. And it has to be a conscious effort.
It's very easy, I'll say this wearing my coaching hat, it's very easy, particularly when you have a busy life in so many different facets, to just get overwhelmed. And I think it is very important to take time and stop, exactly as you said. I love the metaphor of the water and the sand. I will use that.
Yes, no problem at all. I think it was I read it somewhere once, and then I heard it from one of the meditation podcasts from Deepak Chopra.
Yes.
And then I think a person we know, Kevin Rose, once mentioned it somewhere.
I like that. Do you get back to Kenya at all?
Yes, we were there a few months back. My wife's family are still there, so we have to make sure we visit them. Kenya is still where in a way where my heart and inspiration lies.
Yes.
Every time I come back from there, I'm filled with a new sense of energy. it's also not just home for me, but I think people are really warm. They're different, and maybe because I grew up there. But more importantly, every time I get there, I get out into nature, whether it's for a few days or a whole week. Before, in my previous life, I was a semi-pro wildlife photographer. And so I love just being out there in nature with no one around. So just the animals and watching them, you know, go about the daily activities, it adds a different sense of peace to me, which completely gives me a new vibrant energy. So going back to Kenya for me is important for family and myself.
And would you go back full time if you were able?
I would love to, and provisionally that is something we may do in the future. We will see how life kind of works along, but that's what we are hoping we may do. If I do go back, my mission remains, and I would probably want to go back there and set up education centres, because there are people there who don't have access to education, who cannot afford a day of schooling. And we've seen that, especially in the outreach areas. They don't have access to all this. And if I was to go back, I think I would dedicate a large part of my life to ensuring that people get access to education. And if I can use my technology portal and actually bring some of the world's best educators to them using this, I think that would be a big mission fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And that's my drive to going back, really, being close to family. And giving something back to a country I grew up in, but also something back to the human race, because I think we owe it to them. I mean, my parents worked really hard to get me where I am, and I know how powerful a tool education can be. And if I can give that tool to someone, it'll be the greatest gift. That pen is mightier than the sword I'm told.
Indeed, these days it's the mouse and the keyboard, but the message is still very much the same. Drew, dentinal tubules. How do we find out more about it?
I tell people, come along to the website www.dentinaltubules.com, and it's free to register as a base member. Doesn't take long; takes 30 seconds. Sign up. You'll have access to all the articles, all the cases, all the forums. If you feel you want to then watch the 320 lectures we have online, feel free to sign up to premium membership. You can watch all the lectures. You can listen to all the audio casts. You can watch all the Tubules live lectures. There's unlimited CPD for less than £15 a month. You can find us and follow us on Twitter at Dentinal Tubules. You can follow us on Facebook. Dentinal Tubules is the name. Wherever you go, you will find Dentinal Tubules through the web. So I say, come to the website, follow us on social media. You will always find us there.
Drew, that's fantastic. I will thank you, because when I, in my early days of scribbling about the second part of my career, you were very helpful and gave me opportunities to write for Dentinal Tubules, and I'm forever in your debt for doing that. You were somebody who showed faith and confidence in me, so many thanks for that.
No, you're most welcome. I always say there's a genius in all of us, and we must unleash it.
I'm still looking for mine, but thank you for that. My congratulations go to you for starting something that has, in the space of less than 5 years, become a major part of UK dentistry, and I hope will grow to become a major part of world dentistry. I think Dentinal Tubules sets the standard for how online learning and beyond can be, because it's beyond just an education site. The share, learn, connect mantra is a great one. So good for you. Long may you prosper, and I wish you continued success. many, many thanks for being my guest on the Inside the Ledge podcast today, and good luck for the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very privileged. You've actually given me, you know, talking of compliments, you've given me some great guidance, especially over the last few months, and it's been great working and talking and doing things like that. And I'm just glad that you are on board with the dental tubules train, like everyone else works together. It's not me who makes it happen. It's the people who are educated, or the tubulites, as we call them. So thank you very much. I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Great. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Adieu. Cheers, Drew. You've been listening to the Incisal Ledge podcast with me, Alan Rees. My guest today was Drew Shah from Dentinal Tubules. To find out more about dentinal tubules, go to the website www.dentinaltubules.com and investigate the treasure trove of dental education. To find out more about my work as a consultant and coach helping dentists to build their perfect practices, look me up on dentalbusinesspartners.co.uk or theincisaledge.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Let's talk again soon.